Today is Pentecost Sunday. Glory to God. Any idea what Pentecost means, just as a word? Just as a word. Okay, blank on this side. I'll try this side. See if these know any better. Does anybody here know what Pentecost means? Okay, well, I'm going to just back it up a little bit simpler for a start. Pentecost means 50. 50. 50, 50. Today, 50. 50 days. 50 days since Jesus was crucified. I'll just let that sink in for a minute. 50 days. Numbers in the Bible have meaning. 50 is not a coincidence of the fact of Jesus dying and being resurrected from the dead. And on this day, he sent his Holy Spirit to fill his disciples. In the Old Testament, 50 means year of Jubilee. It's a Jubilee year. It's a year of rejoicing. It's a year of celebration. So the number 50 means rejoice. Means celebrate. Okay? And what happened at the year of Jubilee, you see, in years and years and years and years gone by, they had servants and slaves. Yeah? You've read it in history? Yeah? They had servants and slaves. And in Jewish law, when 50 years was up, when the year of Jubilee arrived, they had to let go of their servants and slaves. So, 50 in Jewish law and in God's eyes means freedom. Freedom! The word says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Are you free? Eh? I saw you laughing at me dancing over there. I saw you. I'm free. There's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I'm free. He loves me. And because he loves me, I can rejoice and dance and praise God and just think, I'm free. I'm no longer a slave to sin. No longer a slave to addiction. Hallelujah. I'm free. I said, are you free? Come on. So that's just one of the many meanings of Pentecost. We're free, Abby. Are you free? Yeah. I didn't hear it.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You see, when you start to speak, the devil gets scared. No, Chloe. Did well, didn't I? Eh? When you speak, the devil gets scared. Yeah, I mean, this week we had a prayer meeting on Monday, didn't we? Who was here on Monday evening? Hands up if you were here. Come on, catch up, Grace. You know, just catch up, look. I know you were here. And there were a number of us came, and one of the first things we did was we laid hands on the brickwork, didn't we? We laid hands on this building. And we claimed it to be ours. Isn't that right? And then, within 2 days, I mean, we did more than that. We prayed in the doorways, and we prayed. We just did, and we prayed over every seat. So the seat that you're sat in today is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Yes. That right?
Yes.
Because we laid hands on the chairs, did we not?
We did.
Yeah. Speak to me, for goodness sake. Donkeys nod, you know. Horses nod, you know. People speak.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we prayed and laid hands, and it was great to see these young people just absolutely going for it.
Yes.
I've not seen young people with a passion of prayer. I don't think ever. You are a credit. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are an absolute credit. Keep it. Don't lose it. Don't lose your passion. Don't lose the anointing. Don't lose what you have now. Make it increase. Make it grow. Because the devil went scared running when he saw you guys praying. The committee that was meeting about the church, somebody was missing off the committee meeting. I'll not mention who it was, but obviously that person was going to actually oppose us. And God removed them. Don't stand in the way of God, because He will remove you. And God removed them. And so the committee that what was left met and said unanimously, Harvest Fields must have this building. Hallelujah! Come on! Hey, I've just realized something. Only just realized something now. I have been saved 50 years. Don't look at me like that as if to say, my God, are you that old? Well, I'm not saying exactly today, but this year, I have been saved 50 years. It's my year of Jubilee. I'm free. Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. I'm still a kid at heart, aren't I? Yes. Yes is the word. Not no. Yes. I'm still at heart. I'm still a young person. I was out on my motorbike yesterday. Having the toe down on the roundabouts. And that's another pair of boots I'm going to soon. Wearing them out. I need to wear them out because they don't like them. So I've got to wear my boots out on the corners. But it's the year of freedom. And Pentecost means when Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I'm coming. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send Him to teach you and to give you power.
Amen. Yes.
And He's going to give you the freedom.
Amen. Yes.
Freedom from the attacks of the enemy.
Yes.
You see, these guys over here, their addictions, they had an addiction. Yeah? Do you know something? I'm going to tell you a secret. You ready? They still have an addiction. No. So we're going to have to deal with them, you know. You reckon? Any idea what the addiction might be, Chloe? You're not sure.
God,
that's lovely! I'm addicted to Jesus, you know. I can't manage without Him. I need Jesus. Well, that's what you see on the street. You see these guys, you know, they're shaking, they're wanting the alcohol, they need the drug fix, you know. And when they get it, they're like, ooh. You know? But thank God Jesus didn't affect you like that. He gives you purpose. He gives you meaning to life. He sets you on the right road with a future and a destiny in Christ Jesus. So I'm addicted to Jesus. Who's addicted to Jesus? Amen. Right, we've got a load of addicts in here, guys. Hallelujah, praise God. They are addicted to Jesus. And do you know something? There's no damaging after effects by being addicted to Jesus. Hallelujah. All good. It's all great. Hallelujah. Well, I suppose we better get to the message, aren't we? What time do we start? 1:30. That's close enough. What time are we going to finish? Who knows? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 50. Pentecost. It is about you and I coming to a place of completeness in God. Complete in God. We've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Father God loves us and He's always looking over us and caring for us. He's always got plans that He's making for us. He's got things ready for us. The only thing that we're missing now is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus was born on earth, He was born of a woman. Yet His Heavenly Father was God. So Jesus was both Spirit and man. He was both the Son of God and both the Son of man. But He wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit until John the Baptist baptized Him in the Jordan. And it says there, and then the Spirit of God descended upon Him like a dove. And then they heard a voice from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am really well pleased. Hallelujah. Is God pleased with you? Yeah? You sure about that? Good. God's pleased with you. Therefore, He wants to give you the best. You would, wouldn't you? If you're pleased with somebody, delighted somebody, you give them the best, don't you? So why shouldn't God want to give you the best? So He said to His disciples, I'm sending My Holy Spirit. I'm sending My Holy Spirit to fill you. But not just fill you, in that filling, it will give you power. It will give you power. What sort of power? Power over the devil. Can you do that? Huh? Can't you do that? Huh? The Word of God says, crush Satan under your feet. Hallelujah. Just give him a good grinding, crush him, you know, just let him feel the pain of knowing a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing that, you see, in Jesus you have authority over the devil. He's underneath your feet. Yes. You want to send a message? Write it on here. Stamp it on his head. He's nothing to be afraid of. The Word of God says that greater that is He that is in you, greater the Spirit, Jesus, God the Father, in you is more powerful than any evil spirit that the devil can send along. We're victorious. We're already winners because I read the end of the book and it says we win. We'll have some battles. A few skirmishes along the way. You know, we fought one on Monday night, didn't we? What happened? We won. Bye bye. See, what the devil doesn't want to happen He doesn't want you to be here. And he doesn't want you to contact any of your friends to bring them here. Because he doesn't want you to know Jesus, and he doesn't want your friends to know Jesus. He doesn't want those people out there to know Jesus. Because he knows that when Jesus comes into a person's life, suddenly all the pain begins to disappear. All the hurts begin to be healed. And all those bad words that were ever said against you, he says, I love you. Don't focus on those things anymore. Don't focus on what others are trying to do to you. Focus on what God is doing for you. Yeah. He's about to release you into something great. I just think that's fantastic. In John's Gospel in chapter 16 and verse 13, it says this. But when he, now the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, we talk to God and we think about God as a, for want of a better word, in our own understanding and our own small-mindedness, we think about God as a person, don't we? You know, that's the easiest way. How else do you do it? I know the Bible says God is spirit, but we still sort of connect God to some degree that when we talk to him, or when I talk to him, I talk as if I'm seeing him, as if I'm talking to you guys. So I treat God as he's my father. And you might say, well, that's easy for you to say. You might have had a good father, and it's easy to talk to your heavenly father when it's like that. But if somebody's not had a good father, then they say, well, if God's my father, see what my earthly father's like. And, you know, you can start saying things like that. But God is a true father. He's a true friend. See, God does not go on how you're feeling today. You know, if you're feeling like, I don't feel very good, you know, I'm fed up, you know. Really, so-and-so said this about me and I'm not happy, you know. Really hurt me. And you start going on about it. Don't focus on it. Let it go. In the end, it's about you and Jesus. About you and God. It's not about anybody else. I mean, look at me. Such a lovely person. Aren't I? I'll try somebody else. Look at me. Such a lovely person, aren't I? Yeah, there you go. See, somebody got somebody to agree with me. And yet, there are some people who've said some awful things about me. And they hurt. And you feel, you know, we feel hurt. We're human. We like to be liked, don't we? Do we? Yeah. Do we? Don't we? You don't know whether you like liked. You like to be liked. We like to be liked, don't we? We like people to think about us and think, hey, it's great. I like being around him, you know. And if somebody shuns you and says, oh, no. Yeah, that's it. Bottom comes out. And we, you know, go and stamp our feet somewhere in the corner and get angry and bitter and twisted. God's not like that towards us. He says, I love you. And even when you're having a tantrum, even when you're feeling, he still loves you. And even sometimes, when you've had an argument with God, you mean, you've argued with God, Andrew? Oh, yeah. I've had one or two arguments with God. Lost every one of them. It's true. Lost every one of them. Do you know something? Stand up. Stand up, Ellie. When I've come back to him, come towards me, he's never said, push off. Just keep going. He's never gone, push off. I've just kept coming in and God's just done this and said, are you okay now? Yeah. He says, I still love you. And he doesn't even go up to it. He just says, come on, let's move on. And you walk on with God. Knowing that He loves you. But when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own initiatives, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will disclose to you what is come. I remember reading this one time. I've read this verse many times. And I suddenly saw something in this verse that I never, ever seen before. And the Word of God's like that. You can read it and read it and read it. And then all of a sudden one day a spotlight comes on. And you go, whoa. And I remember reading this verse and it says, and He, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears. Who is the Holy Spirit listening to? Go higher. What did you say? Wasn't you? All right, I must be hearing things. He's listening to God. And He says that whatever the Holy Spirit hears, He will speak. You see, God has only got good things to say to you and to me. And the Holy Spirit is going to tell us what God is saying in His very throne room about your circumstance, about your situation. The Holy Spirit is going to tell you what God is about to do. It's great being inside, having inside information. So the Holy Spirit is always listening to what's being said in the throne room of God. It blows my mind that. And then He'll come down and say, Andrew, guess what God said? And I'm like, what? And He'll speak to me. And He tells me something that God is saying. And I'm like, whoa. Blows my mind. Some things God has said to me just at times have absolutely blown my mind. And it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He spoke to you one day and He told you, you need to pray for dear, she's not well. Yeah? See? Now you didn't know that was the Holy Spirit, did you? No. Now you know. Now you listen a bit more. Yeah? See, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us. You see, we are the children of God. And God wants to talk to His children. It'd be an awful father if he said, oh, the mics, but I don't want to talk to them, you know. Wouldn't be nice, would it? It's not a father. But God wants to talk to you. You see, how do I know that? If you were to go right to the beginning of Genesis and read what was happening over 6,000 years ago, God came every day into the garden in the cool of the evening to talk to Adam and Eve. Every day. So guess what? God wants to have a conversation with you guys every day. He wants to talk to you every day. He wants you to talk to Him every day. Two-way conversation. Talking and speaking to God. He's our Father. He loves us. He cares for us. And Jesus said to His disciples, we'll move on into Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, if you turn there, it's always a good reference. Acts chapter 1. Gets you used to flipping through the pages, finding where things are. Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 through to 8. See, this is my Bible. It's got marks in it all over the place. You know, little scribbles and highlights. And it's mine. When God said something to me, I like that. Special. Now, this is after Jesus has died. He's rose again. He's been talking to his disciples now for 40 days. He's supposed to be dead. He's been dead 3 days in a tomb. But yet, he's alive. And now he's talking to his disciples and he's been there with them for 40 days. That's another number, but we better not do that one today. That means something as well. So 4 days. And then he says this to his disciples. He says, and being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. That's where they lived. He says, don't depart from Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of Father. Guess what, Meredith? God has got a promise for you. He's got a promise for you. Do you believe it? He's got a promise for us. Do you believe it? Praise God. He always keeps his promises. Always keeps his promises. And so Jesus says to him, my Father, says, you have to wait. My Father has a promise. Which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for to know the times or the seasons for which the Father has to put his own authority. But you shall receive power and the Holy Spirit. Now then, I'm going to stop there. So many people in the old school believe that, so many people in the old school believe that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you spoke in tongues, and that was it. No. That's only the beginning. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus says. He says that you shall receive power, authority. Power, authority. Say, power. Again, power. Authority. Come on. You shall receive power and authority. Praise his wonderful name. You shall receive power and authority. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit has come on you. Wow. You see, the disciples were operating under the power of Jesus when he was on the earth. They did miracles. They did healings under the authority of the Lord Jesus. But now he's moving it up to another level. Now he's going to equip each and every one of us with the power, the authority. That was your fault. Now I do have ringing in that ear. With power and authority in the name of Jesus, through the ministry and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is just fantastic. And so he goes on to say that the disciples were gathered together. There was 120 disciples. And they were all waiting for the power. Are you waiting for the power? Are you waiting for the authority? You see, the Church of Jesus Christ has to take on the power and the authority. It has to take on the mantle of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Old Testaments, the prophet would have an anointed mantle which meant that he spoke behalf of God, and that he did miracles, and he did healings on the direction of God. And he had this anointed mantle. But there was only one man usually that had that anointing at that time. But today, through Jesus Christ, the whole church of Jesus Christ can be, should be, anointed with the power and authority of the Lord Jesus. It's not just for the select, it's not for the few that come up here and just stand and share the word of God. It is for the whole body of Jesus Christ. That's why we were told, go out and make disciples. Not Christians. Disciples. See, I'm not a Christian. I'm a disciple. The world called 2,000 years ago, mocked them and said, oh, them Christians, them Christ-like people, nickname them Christians. Jesus said, go and make disciples. There's a difference. A disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Following him. Following what he said. Chasing hard after him. Being like him. Being molded into that spiritual image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he healed the sick. He says he opened blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He raised a dead person, a dead girl. He raised a dead man. He caused people with leprosy to be healed. That their fingers had fallen off, their ears had fallen off with this disease. And Jesus said, be healed and go and show yourself to the priest in the temple. And it says, and as they went, hey, I've got an ear. I have one there today, before, earlier on, before I met Jesus. Got here. I've got five fingers now. Some of you say, well, I've got a hand. I know you might laugh and say, oh, you're trivializing this, but this is what happened. Jesus gave eyes where there were no eyes. That same power, that same authority that resided in the Lord Jesus Christ today should be in the church and should be multiplying. Right? That's what should be happening. We shouldn't be saying, oh God, help, come and bail us out quick, you know. We should be saying, we rule. God has given us the authority to rule and reign, and to rule in righteousness, to rule in truth, to rule with authority, to rule with the love of God, and change the area where we change the school that you're in, change the workplace that you're in, change the surrounding area where you live. People might say, oh, you're an idealist. Well, Jesus was. And he spoke these words and said, do it. He gave them a commandment. Go out into all the world. Yes. Preach the gospel. Yes. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Yes. And cast out demons in my name. Yes. And so we have to do this. Because he told us to do it. And so we need to move in that realm. Let's move into Acts chapter 2. And at the day of Pentecost, when they'd all come together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them tongues of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each and every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak. You see, Jerusalem was a city of many languages. It was a a center of trade, and so many people from many nations came into that city. And so the gospel that day was being preached in every tongue to every nation, because the Holy Spirit was allowed to come to these disciples' lives, and they just began to tell the gospel of Jesus, how he died and rose again, how he loves people and the love of God for their lives. And people were being saved. And it says that very day, 3,000 were added to the church. Can you imagine if that happened here? Hey, can you imagine if the Holy Spirit came down and filled each and every one of you, you just took off running and started sharing the gospel with people, and suddenly you bring it, people are coming in, and we're like, whoa, we've not got enough room. What are we going to do? Have two services, have three services, whatever. Just keep four services. I don't know what we're going to do. 2 days a week. Just constantly services so that people can come into the presence of God and learn more about Jesus. And you see, what God wants to do is to equip each and every one of us to be teachers of the Word of God. To share Jesus, to share the healing power, to see miracles. It is not for the elect. It is for the disciples. Are you a disciple? Huh? Yeah. So therefore, this is for you. It's for you. Praise God. So this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, what did it do? We hear that, we read this, and I hear people say, "Oh, it's not for today. It's over with." I don't believe that. I've seen people raised from the dead. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen people miraculously healed. So I know, as far as I'm concerned, it is for today, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen? So, yeah, come on. You can clap if you want. Clapping for Jesus. He's saying today. Today. He's got his eye on you. He's watching over you. And he's already in tomorrow. Looking for you. Preparing things for you. And he's planned you forever.
Amen. Yes.
You've got a good forever. Amen. You have a good future in Christ Jesus. Amen. Pray an hour, because Stephen doesn't have to leave here while 6 o'clock, so I've got an hour at the moment anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God wants to show you his power, show you his love. And so he began this with his disciples. 120 of them were being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out preaching the Word of God. And I believe signs, wonders, and miracles. And if you read Acts, we've been saying to each and every one of you, read the book of Acts. Read it. If you don't get inspired reading the book of Acts, you must be dead. It's a fantastic book. This is what the church was doing when Jesus had left them. Come on, let's do it, you know. This is what the church was doing. The church was not hiding. Ooh, there could be some big spiders in there. The church wasn't hiding. Well, what's the matter, Chloe? I've lost me. Keeps falling off. It's not a spider. You want it, yeah? God's equipping us not to go and hide, to stand. Come on, devil. Come on, devil. Bring it on. Give it your best shot, because when you've given me one of your shots, I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to cut you to ribbons with the Word of God. See, when you know the Word of God, you can cut the enemy to ribbons. You can shred him. Glory to God. Word of God is sharper, it says, than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. And when the Spirit begins to take hold of that word that you speak, He changes things. Wow. And it's important that we read the word every day. Because we're having conversation with our Heavenly Father. Right? And some of you might think, well, I'm not sure about this one. Hey, give it a try. Try it. I know some of you here can say, well, I'm trying it and it works. Seeing it happen. It's changed lives. Stephen there. Oh, that's not first Stephen, the second Stephen. In red. Kept telling him, you need to be in Teen Challenge, you need to be away from Doncaster, you need to be this place and let the Word of God do a work in your life. And I remember him saying, I can do it on my own, I can do it here. And I kept saying, no, you need to be in Teen Challenge. Finally, he came to a place where he said, I need to be in Teen Challenge. He needed to be away from this place so that God could get in his face. And that God could begin a process of reshaping him and remolding him. And that he then became addicted to Jesus. I mean, just look at him now. You know, he's on fire for Jesus. Why? Because the love of God came into his life. He didn't know that. He didn't know the love of God. Oh, he knew about Jesus. You see, it's not about Jesus, but it's knowing him personally. It's being able to look into his eyes and say, Lord, I know you. I know you. And I know you love me. And I know even when I've done something wrong, you still love me. It's about being able to do that. And every one of us do things wrong. Even Grace. And me. We make mistakes. You know, now some folk could just say, oh, forget her. Gee, wasted time, what time? In fact, that reminds me. See Helen there, your youth leader at the moment. A pastor's wife once told me I was a youth leader. And the pastor's wife of the church we were at that time said, you, she kept, stand up, Meredith. Stand up. I'll show you what she did. Stand there. You and me, I'm the pastor's wife. I'll talk with a squeaky voice, shall I? She came up to me and she said, you are wasting your time with her. And I just looked at her and said, really? Thank you. Did I waste my time? Thank you. She's part of what God's shaping and molding each and every one of you. But if I'd have listened to that person's voice and stopped listening to God, because God had told me get on a case and stay on a case till the job's done. Oh, and it was a big case, I'll tell you. It was my big trunk, you know, and it had wheels. And it was hard work, you know, to go in there and pull this rubbish out, and then she'd shut it and say, that's it. Not taking any more. And then later on, I got, here we go. Pull some more junk out. Till we made space for Jesus. It's true. You go and ask her. I'll tell you, the more garbage in there, you can shake a stick out. She told me things, and I thank God. To this day, I cannot remember some of the awful things. She told me worst things that happened in her life just to get rid of me. Well, let me tell you this. I'm like a pit, you know. I stick. You know. It's like, you ain't going to get rid of me. If God puts me on you, you will not get rid of me until it is over. And over and over. And I did that. Now you see it. So if you've got any problems, blame me, okay? Praise God. But I don't think you have. Come on, bless her. Helen's good. Because God's in her life. God changed her. You know, when we first met her, and I think told you, she was threatening to commit suicide. So if that happened, none of you might have been here. But God put us in a place to work with her and to minister to her and show her the love of Jesus, you see. And the thing was, she didn't like me. Me! I mean, thank you. What's not to like about me? Don't go there, okay. Keep her quiet. Hey, she hated me, in fact, she would say. Can you believe that? Huh? No. But you see, God, through His Holy Spirit, was working in people's lives to change and to move them forward. And you know, if we move quickly into Acts chapter 6, we see there in verse 8 that even Stephen, not this Steve, he was a deacon in the early church, and the Bible said he was full of grace and faith and power and was performing great signs and wonders and miracles in the lives of people. And so the Holy Spirit has been given to you and to me, so He through you will reach many more people with the hand of God, the hand of Jesus, and He will touch people and heal people through you. Because He wants you to be anointed with His power and with His presence. He wants you to know the power that God, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit has. Because that was your destiny. Adam and Eve were told to rule and reign the earth, to take authority. And today, nothing's changed. But God has said, He wants to fill you. He wants to fill you with His power. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit so that as He fills you with the Holy Spirit, you can begin to touch people's lives. You see souls being saved. You become bold. Yes. You become brave, if you want, for want of a better word. And nothing will faze you when you say, I can do this because God is in me. His Holy Spirit is in me. I can do this. Because God is strengthening me. God is equipping me to do it. But it all comes from that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, He begins to tune your ear in. To listen to what God is saying about circumstances around you. Tells you about friends and He says, go and pray for them. Go and talk. They're ready. I've got them ready to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and they're ready to come to Jesus. That's what it's about. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that in your life, in my life, so that we're hearing the voice of God speaking to us. Some might say, well, I've never heard God speak. Well, there's an opportunity. And today, I want to, with our leaders, I want to just ask you, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want to know the presence and the power of God in a deeper way? Well, I'm going to give opportunity that tonight I'm going to lay hands on you. Yes. It's because if we read in Acts, the people were, they laid hands on people, he says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Began to speak in tongues. And God began to move amongst great power. They raised people from the dead. They saw blind eyes open. They saw God moving in great power. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us that boldness to say, I'm not backing down from what I believe. Because some of us are going to get challenged. Some people are going to come against us and try and stop you believing what you believe in. Try to convince you otherwise. Even tell you you've gone mad. But in Jesus Christ, you're the most sanest person on the earth. because he loves you and he will take you into great things. And so tonight we're going to pray for those of you that want to have an infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to ask you to come and line up in the front here, and we're just going to lay hands on you in Jesus' name and begin to pray over you that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Whether it's a fresh infilling or whether it's a new infilling, if you've never known the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, we're just going to pray and we're just going to trust God. And in some cases, it might not happen tonight, but let me tell you this, you might get home and suddenly, boom, it happens. I was prayed for 2 or 3 times in a couple of different churches to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I had a sip, right? I got a little bit, you know, just a sip. God wants you to drink of the Spirit. And then one time I was on my motorcycle as a teenager and I'd gone to this church. And the devil did not mean to get to this church. One first thing, I couldn't find the church. So that's a bad sign, isn't it? Yeah. I'd driven past it and still couldn't find it. But I'm determined. Then I had a puncture in the rear wheel of the motorcycle. So now I've got to fix it. So I spend the afternoon greased up to the eyes with chains and everything fixing this flat tire. Just as I'm finishing it, my pastor walks by. He says, "What are you doing here, lad?" I said, "I'm looking for the church. I've had a punk, but I don't know where the church is." He said, and he gave me directions because he was at the church. That was amazing, wasn't it? I would have gone home. If I didn't get a puncture, I'd have gone home. I would have missed it. So there I am. I go into church. I get cleaned up. I mean, my hands were as black as your trousers, you know. I sat at the back of the church. And as I sat, just before the meeting started, this voice said to me, "Tonight's your night." I went, "Whoa." He said, "Tonight I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit." Okay. Well, I tell you what, I sat there thinking, I wish this service had hurry up and finish. You know, I sat there. I had no idea what the guy preached on. I just sat there thinking, come on. You see, they didn't have a time of prayer for the Holy Spirit on a Saturday night. It was always Saturday afternoon, so I would have missed it. But God changed everything, and they did it on the Saturday evening. Well, that Saturday evening, I went into that back room after service. They laid hands on me, prayed. It just exploded within me. I just rocketed off. I got on my motorcycle to go home. If they'd have breathalyzed me, they'd have stopped me. I was as drunk as a skunk. I set off on this motorcycle and I went, "I'm coming out of Maltby Head and I'm heading back towards Doncaster. I'm going the Tick Hill Road. I'm going the other road to Conisbrough." And you know, you go up over the hill in Maltby and then you go down the dip and then at the bottom there's a sharp left-hand bend, isn't there? I've no idea how I got round that bend. I was going that fast. I was speaking in tongues and glory to God, I'm praising God and speaking in tongues, got the throttle fully open. And then I suddenly realised, oh, there's a bend here. And I just sort of went, and I got round it, and I'm thinking, whoa, what happened to me, you know? And I got home, praising God, so excited. And it's never stopped since. It made me bold, it made me courageous. So I'm going to pray, we're going to pray with you guys. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you to come out right now. And stand out here, and we're just going to lay hands on you and pray with you. And ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with power. The power of God that filled Jesus. The power of God that filled disciples. So if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just come out right now. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.